Please turn to the Order of Prime, which begins on page 108, and please rise. Make haste, O God, to help me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault, in thought, word, and deed, for the sake of the suffering and death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 8. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord, two men made the town of Capernaum on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee their headquarters. One was a Roman officer holding the rank of centurion, a commander of 100 men. He was a foreigner to the area. He was in charge of the Roman garrison, which was stationed there. And the other man, of course, was Jesus. He made this town a sort of headquarters for himself after he had left his hometown of Nazareth at the age of 30. When this Roman officer and his men learned that they were assigned to garrison duty at this place called Capernaum in a region called Galilee, I doubt if there was much rejoicing in the barracks. The place was not exactly a major hub of activity in the vast Roman Empire of the first century. It's not difficult to imagine that the soldiers chafed and complained about being assigned to a boring fishing village. The only thing that might bring a little excitement to the area was the fact that there was a major road that passed nearby. And this road connected important points along the trade routes, and it crossed a border nearby between two administrative districts of the Roman Empire. And where roads cross borders, you can usually count on it that there will be taxes imposed on goods crossing the borders. And where there are taxes imposed on goods, you can usually count on it there will be those who will try to avoid paying those taxes by smuggling. Hence, a military presence might be needed. But there was another reason for a Roman military presence in this fishing village. The population was, of course, Jewish. And for almost a century at this point, the Jewish homelands had been part of the Roman Empire. And it was a well-known fact that certain elements in the Jewish population deeply resented the Roman domination. And some among them would not hesitate to use violence to achieve their political objectives. A Roman garrison might even be the target of a terrorist attack, and the centurion was there to maintain law and order. He was a remarkable man. Instead of remaining aloof from the community, hiding behind the military power which he represented, he took an interest in learning about the people of the place where he was stationed and made an effort to establish good relations with them. That might have involved learning a new language, attending events, making himself accessible to the people of the community. Luke's account tells us that this man had come to be loved and respected by the people of Capernaum. Apparently, at his own expense, he had built a synagogue for them, a place where they could gather and celebrate their religion and culture and pass it on to the next generation. And then somehow, this centurion had come to hear about Jesus, the teacher from Nazareth. Matthew chapter 8, of course, comes right after the Sermon on the Mount. Was it, perhaps, in connection with that famous aspect of Jesus' early ministry that the centurion first heard about Jesus? When it was reported that multitudes of people from Galilee, from the area east of the Jordan, and from as far away as Jerusalem and Judea were gathering around this teacher, it's not difficult to imagine that this would get the attention of Roman authorities very quickly. This could easily be regarded as suspicious activity. The reputation of the Jewish people for rallying around rabble-rousers was well known. Was Jesus a potential threat to law and order? This would have to be investigated. At the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew reports that Jesus' hearers were simply astonished at what they had heard, because Jesus taught as one who had authority. And furthermore, he underscored the authority of his words by the power of his deeds. Authority and power were two concepts that a Roman officer could easily relate to immediately. And then we read that the devastating effects of the human bondage to sin and death struck very close to home for this centurion. A servant who was particularly dear to him was afflicted with paralysis and great pain, and in an act of faith, he made the situation known to Jesus. And Jesus responded, "I will come and heal him." And then the man's faith and understanding shone brighter still No, you don't have to come to my house, Jesus. Just say the word. I understand very well the concepts of authority and power. That's the world in which a soldier lives. I get it. You don't have to explain any further to me. You, Jesus, have authority and power over all the effects of sin, and you exercise that power by your word. Just do it, please. Such was the man's remarkable request. Here we have a remarkable convergence of what we can call epiphanies. Jesus manifests himself as Lord and Savior, and a man, a human being, experiences that aha moment, that epiphany experience. He gets it, and he believes it, and he acts on it. Those who heard Jesus' words and saw his deeds were frequently astonished, according to the gospel accounts. But there are also recorded for us places where Jesus had to marvel at what he heard and saw, and this is one of them. The miracle of faith had been created in the heart of this foreigner, this Roman soldier who had not had the advantage of growing up with the knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, but he too took his place at the Feast of Salvation alongside the patriarchs of old who believed the promises of God. While many among the race of Israel remained in the darkness of their own misguided prejudices about what a Savior should be like and what he should do, this man got it right. A word spoken with the authority and power of God in human flesh, is what we need. His word constitutes a feast of salvation. Now, in this place, too, the authority and power of God over sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil is exercised for us. Here we gather from all directions around the word of the gospel. To us, who, left on our own, can only anticipate receiving the wages of our sin and everlasting death, comes the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. His word announces this: there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is a word which brings among us the authority and the power of God for our salvation. Now it is time for us to enjoy the feast of salvation, to take our places at the table where the faithful of all generations gather. Please turn to the responsory in the order of prime, and please rise. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Arise, O Christ, and help us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
The
Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.